Hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. As always, thanks so much for joining us today. We are in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2. And so I'm going to read those for us, and then we'll talk through a couple of things. Verse 6 says this, "But you have dishonored the poor man, and are not the rich the ones who oppress you, and the ones who drag you into court?" Verse 7, "Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called?" And so I want to be careful here, because upon first reading, it very clearly sounds like James is saying anybody who's rich is therefore then persecuting the Christian. And in this, we need to be reminded that James is writing to a particular audience in a specific context at a particular point in history. Now, that doesn't negate the things that James is saying. By no means is that the case. And yet we need to remember the circumstances that his original readers and audience found themselves in. Remember in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1, he opens with "to the 12 tribes in the dispersion." And so he's writing to Jewish Christians who have been scattered around the world, likely due to the persecution that broke out stemming from Acts chapter 7 and chapter 8. And going forward there, many have to leave Jerusalem due to the persecution that takes place after the martyrdom of Stephen in the oversight of Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. But anyway, these people flee, and they therefore then find themselves in cities, in nations, in cultures where they're the outsiders. They're therefore then likely downtrodden. They have left their businesses maybe back in Israel. They have left their families, their wealth, all of these different things, and they find themselves in the significant minority, and likely not in positions of power, not in positions of authority, not in positions of wealth. Therefore then, when somebody comes into the church gathering who appears to have financial means, the natural tendency, says James, is to show that person partiality and reject the poor person. Why? Because our natural sinful tendency says, this person can make my circumstances easier, this person cannot. Therefore, I am going to do whatever I have to do to get in good with the person with means as a way to ultimately make my situation better. And so in this, I don't believe that James is saying in any way that everybody who has wealth is a terrible person and is persecuting you and taking you to court. I don't think that's the case. But in this particular instance, it's often the case in the book of James, in the context of James. Now, one of the questions that came up for me in this was, why is there a temptation to show partiality to the people that are dragging them into court and blaspheming Jesus' name? To me, that doesn't initially seem to make sense, right? And yet, James has to warn them against this. And so clearly it is happening, and he's frustrated by this. And so that's why he's writing this. But I think the answer to that is that we often prefer what it is we desire. We see something that looks comfortable, something that looks good, and we say, I want that, no matter how our interaction with that thing might have been in the past. And it's just something I think we often do. We prefer, we promote that which we really desire. Of course, that makes sense. And so then the question has to come, well, what is my ultimate heart's desire? What is the treasure of my heart? For that will then direct in many ways the way I treat others and the way I see others. Is the treasure of my heart the lordship of Christ in my life? Or is it the comfort that I can attain through financial means? Is the desire of my heart to be in a position of affluence or influence? Or is the desire of my heart to be used as an instrument in the Redeemer's hands, in which I function and operate as the hands and feet of Jesus in and through the world? Am I salt and light in this world for my Savior? And I think those are important questions to ask. And so do I or do you find yourself showing partiality, trying to get something from someone to make your life better, trying to influence things in a way that's not ultimately godly, in a way that doesn't ultimately honor Christ, even preferentially treating those who are mistreating you or who are blaspheming the name of our Savior? And it's something that was relevant in the time of the New Testament. It's something that is absolutely relevant in the time in which we live today. And so with that in mind, I want to do some guided prayer once again. As we close our time together, I always want to say thanks for joining us on the Drivecast. And so I'm just going to lead us through praying these verses. Something I always encourage us to do is to pray scripture back to God. And so I'm going to pray a phrase or line and then give you a little space to do the same. And then we'll go from there. Father, reveal to me if there have been any areas that I have dishonored or looked past people. And God, if you reveal that to me, Lord, help me repent of it, confess it and repent of it. Ask God, forgive me, and then repent in the sense that I turn away from it, that I no longer do it, that I no longer show preferential treatment. God, remind me that you did not show partiality toward me, that you rescued me in my brokenness, that you saw me in, I can give nothing to you. You have nothing to gain. I don't bring anything to the table, and yet, Lord, you rescue me. So remind me of that reality and help that reality shape the way in which I view and treat others. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.